want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. And my name is still Bob Arthurs, and Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We're going to spend the next half hour today talking about the glorious concept of forgiveness in the Word of God. Is there anybody that's thankful that we are forgiven? You know, the Imperials, I believe it was, used to sing a song, and it goes back a long, long time ago. And it was, its simple message was, I'm forgiven and now I have a reason for living. And I am so thankful for the forgiveness of God. I'm thankful. Do you know, I've done some things that were less than honorable and less than blessing to people in my life, and they graciously forgave me. And right now I remember something that I thought was funny that I did to somebody, only to find out that it wasn't funny. And it was quite hurtful to them, and they got to the place where they could forgive me, and I'm very, very grateful for that. So I don't want to take the forgiveness of God nor the forgiveness of man for granted. I want to continue to operate with forgiveness in my life. So I got to reviewing our program on Friday. And we had talked about, Luke chapter 23, verse number 34, where Jesus is on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The offense that had been committed against him was not just the crucifixion, but it was the sin of the whole world. And you know, the extremity of the pain and the suffering and the heartache that my sin and your sin has caused God is very, very severe. And he said, Father, forgive them. And I believe that we can, by the help of the Holy Spirit, rise to that level in our life where we are able to forgive people and just realize they may not understand. They may not know what they are doing. There was a time in my life where I was going through a situation and I was leaning hard upon God. I needed God. And to be honest with you, I needed a word from God. And in that case, I did not go running to another person and say, hey, do you have a word from God for me? God knows exactly where you are. I don't go running after prophetic words like, you know, people go to 1-800 call psychic hotline. I don't do that. God knows where I live. I was in a meeting. I opened up the Word of God, and bam, there was a word from heaven that explained a situation to me, and it gave me prayer insight into what was going on. I'm very thankful that we can forgive people even when they are unaware of what they're doing. A lot of times people think that the sins that they're committing are no big deal. God has a different perspective on that. And so we need to practice forgiving. Now, let me just say one other thing. I'm not opposed to prophetic words. I have given prophetic words. I'm thankful for prophetic words that have been spoken over my life. They're just not something I go chasing after from other people. If I need a word from God, the person that I'm going to pursue for that word is God. And I'm so thankful that I have access to the throne room of heaven 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and one quarter day a year. I am thankful that we can hear from God. I do want to take just a moment to say thank you. to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you are in the central part of Brevard County and you have a problem with your heater, problem with your air conditioner, when I got back from Fiji, I found that a plumbing problem was not waiting until I got better, until I got refreshed before it started manifesting itself. I was unaware there was a plumbing problem until one night I was having trouble with my sleep schedule. And all of a sudden it's like, well, what's that water? What's all this stuff lingering around this sink? And I discovered there was a plumbing issue. And I hate plumbing issues. If you know a good plumber, I hope that you affirm them over and over again and let them know how much of a blessing they are in your life. I hate plumbing. But you know, I can do it. It's just, it takes me a while to get it successful. Whenever there's a blocked drain or anything like that, AC, heater, air handling, refrigeration, not so much. You need an expert in that. And I encourage you to call 321-759-3284. Bill Andrijk is a blessing, and he will be a blessing to you. Let's get to the word today. We're going to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at several passages of scripture here and share some scriptural truths about forgiveness. And verse number 1, it says, "But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad but the one who is made sorrowful by me? And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also write, that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So let's talk about this a little bit. In the context of this is the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians had a sin problem. It involved a sexual sin, a relational issue that was going on, and the church had been boasting about that. They had not been repenting of that, and Paul wrote and let them know, this is not the right mindset that you have towards this. This is not something to be rejoicing over. This is something to be repenting of. And I will tell you this, sexual sin in 2019 is not something that is to be paraded. It is not something to be embraced by churches. It is something to be repented of. Okay? And the sexual sins that our society deals with today are not necessarily the same one that Paul and the Corinthian church had to deal with, but it needs to be addressed. You can look in the book of Revelation and you will find that churches that do not deal with the sexual issues of their day, that they are not commended by Christ, they are corrected by Christ. And so I just want to let you know, that's the background that is coming, that Paul is dealing with here. He addressed a problem, now it's been dealt with by the congregation, and now he's dealing with the congregation after the correction has gone forth, okay? And so It says that the first time that I wrote you, I did so that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. Paul's confrontation of the sin that led to the repentance, which led to the forgiveness, was based on the love of God. The love of God does not compel us to confirm someone in their sin or reaffirm them in their sin. The love of God is what motivates us to deal with the sin problem. This was a sin problem that affected a home which was not being addressed in the church. And Paul said, I love you too much to allow that thing to infest the church. And I will tell you that I believe that God is still in love with us so much that he doesn't wink at our sin. He confronts us in our sin. It's not because he's harsh. It's because of how much he loves us. So maybe I'm speaking to somebody today and there's a situation that's going on and you haven't dealt with that sin. I loved being a staff pastor. Anytime that somebody came to me with a problem in the church, my response was, well, we should go talk to pastor. And if they said, well, I don't want to go talk to pastor. I'm just talking to you about that. I said, well, now I know that there's a problem in the church. And so with you or without you, I'm going to have to go talk to the pastor. And I loved being able to say, well, you need to talk to pastor about that. And then I became the pastor. There was a situation that arose one time. It was a domestic issue. It wasn't the same nature that the Corinthian church was dealing with, but it was something that was very serious. And I kept praying. And this was pretty young in my being the pastor, the senior pastor of a church, the lead pastor of the church. And I was praying, oh, God, deal with this situation, deal with this situation, deal with this situation. And God's answer all those times was, that's why I have put you where I have put you, because I want you to deal with this situation. And the more I delayed in dealing with that situation, now get this, the weaker I became, not in a tangible or not in a philosophical sense. It was physical. Not addressing the situation that needed to be addressed was making me sick. Not addressing sin issues is an infirmity that the church needs to deal with. God has told us the things that are pleasing to him, and he tells us the things that are abominable to him. They make him sick. if I can put it in that terms, it's nauseating to him. God's coming for a bride that is pure and spotless, without wrinkle, a blameless bride, a perfected and holy bride, a bride that has been washed by the word of God. And so we need to have a love for people that says, I love you as you are, but I love you too much to not deal with this situation in your life. I love you too much to fail to deal with you in this situation. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't just want to sit there and watch people make the same mistakes over and over and over again. There's a philosophy of education that says we shouldn't correct kids with the mistakes that they're making because they're just doing the best that they can. The problem is that's not going to work in society. You know, we want everybody to feel good about who they are and what they're doing. And sometimes it is just they're just doing things that are killing them. And And my baby couldn't do that. Well, your baby was born in sin just the way that I was and the way my kids were and the way my grandkids were. And we have to deal with issues. And if we deal with those issues the way God's word tells us, it's going to have a glorious result. And so make sure that when you are confronting a sin issue, that your confrontation is not done in the flesh, but that it is done in love. Verse number 7 says this, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such as a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. We have to reaffirm our love for him. We need to let them know that we are here to comfort. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He is the comforter, the paraclete, the one who is called alongside to help. And so whenever we're dealing with somebody and we forgive them, there's not a spirit of condemnation that accompanies the correction, but one of comfort and edification and empowerment. Okay? That's what we're supposed to do, because we don't want that person swallowed up with too much sorrow. That means that there can be a spiritual attack that comes if we fail to operate in correction and forgiveness with love and compassion and comfort. That what can happen is not something that's going to end up bringing glory to God, but instead it's going to overwhelm the sinner. And they're going to feel like they're in a hopeless situation, that there's no way out, that there's nobody who loves them. Being in a spirit of, in a condition of hopelessness is devastating. And God doesn't want you there. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but it doesn't end there. It goes on to say to those who, let me turn back over there. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. A lot of times people only quote the first part of that verse. And it is true. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, but you are going to walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And we need to realize when we get out of the Spirit and we get into the flesh, we've entered a realm we don't want to have anything to do with. And so we want to make sure we're not dealing with the sin issues of their life, feeling as if there is condemnation hanging over their heads. That's not what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's bringing us to a place conviction, to where we will deal with that issue appropriately. Now, let's get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're not done with our topic over there. So let's drop down to verse number 8. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. That's verse number 8. That's very, very important. Everything you know along the way, you remind the people that not only does God love them, but you love them. For to this end I wrote, that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. I will tell you that I know a lot of people who want to try and do a different path of correction than what the Bible instructs. They want to try and do it. They don't want to really operate by the standards of the word. And what you end up doing in that situation is you end up prolonging the problem, if not longer than what God wants. Sometimes it's indefinitely. And we need to let people know sin is not okay. Sin's not okay in the life of a believer. You know, if I, it's kind of like, you know, how much sickness do you want in your body? I don't know about you, but I hate being sick. I don't like it at all. It makes me miserable, makes me grumpy. I want to be healthy. I don't want any sickness going on in my body. So, the same mindset, we don't want any sin in our body, and therefore we need to deal with people the way that God, wants us to, working towards the goal of forgiveness and repentance, and reconciliation. Verse number 10, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Unforgiveness positions us for Satan to take advantage of us. A lot of times what happens is whenever there's one victim, he's going to try and multiply the number of victims. Satan is a pretty good strategist, but he's no match for God's strategy. But it is quite evident that Satan wants to have he wants to be a serial victimizer. If he can get one person to entangled in sin, then he wants to use that to get another person, whether it's in the same arena of sin or whether it's unforgiveness. You've got to realize that the strategy of Satan is to take advantage of the people of God. And living a life of offense is one of his most successful strategies. Being offended is not a sign of maturity. It is a sign of immaturity. It is a sign of spiritual immaturity. So in this day and time where everybody is offended and outraged about everything, that's not a sign that our society is more mature than we've ever been. It is a sign that we are devolving as a society. The more we get away from Christ, the more offended we're going to be, the more unforgiving we are going to be. I have never seen so much unforgiveness in America as I do now. I've never seen so much hypocrisy in America as I do now. And all the while, God is saying, I have such a better plan for you. And, you know, it used to be called things like the high road. And you know, people say, well, we're going to take the high road in this situation. Folks, I haven't seen people outside of church taking the high road for a long, long time. For them, the high road is the rut that's not quite as deep as the rut that the other people are in. That's the high road that they're thinking of. But God does have a solid foundation for you and I to journey through life. Let's not give the devil the upper hand. Don't live offended. Don't live unforgiving. Don't live condemning people. Live reaffirming your love for one another and your love for God, because unforgiveness positions us for Satan to take advantage of us. Unforgiveness is a satanic device designed to imprison us. Unforgiveness is a satanic device designed to take advantage of us and permanently imprison us. We think, well, I'm going to show them. I'm just not going to forgive them. I tell you what, they'll move on. They'll move on with their life. Many times, you know, like we talked about at the beginning of the program today, you know, where Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Many times there are people who are living with a mindset of unforgiveness, and the people that they are not forgiving don't have a clue that there's anything even amiss. And so if that relationship is severed, they just move on and they're completely unaware of the unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will lead to bitterness. And, you know, I don't remember who said it. I know it wasn't me that came up with it originally. So it's not that I'm refusing attribution. I just don't know who the one that said it. But unforgiveness and bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's not going to happen. The only person who's seriously injured by unforgiveness is us, because we're depriving ourselves of the forgiveness that we want. There are many people who lived their life not forgiving others, holding on to grudges for decades and decades, and they fully expect to get into heaven. And I sure hope that they readjusted their standard before they crossed eternity's threshold, because the Bible makes it very clear that getting into heaven is not just about asking Jesus to come into our heart and forgive us of our sins. It is also extending that same level of forgiveness to those around us. That's not a popular teaching. It's not something that people really want to hear a whole bunch about. But I'm telling you, it's rock solid scripture. Not because we're working to earn our salvation. We don't. It's a gift from God. But the gift of God is supposed to transform us to where our heart beats like the family of God's heart beats. We are moved with compassion the same way that Jesus was moved with compassion. And we desire people to be forgiven the same way that he wants to be forgiven. Don't hold on to the garbage that this life has to offer. I don't know about you, but I'm the one responsible for taking the garbage to the curb. And a lot of times I will get up and I will find this bag and it will be positioned on my way out the door. And I said, you know what? I want this garbage out of my house. And so I grab it, I take it to the curb and say, goodbye. See ya. Don't want you anymore. Why don't you and I adopt a mindset and say, God, we want to love people. If there's sin, we want them forgiven, because life is too short and you want them in heaven with us. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
So pure, so right, this love I feel inside. So good just to be with you. No shame to hide, you put my fears to flight. I know that I am safe when I'm with you. This is who I meant to be. know you have chosen me.